Welcome to American Players Theater Talk Backs to Go. I'm Buzz Kemper, and I invite you to take a walk up the hill with Orange Schroeder and me as Orange chats with actors Colleen Madden and David Daniel about APT's 2016 production of An Ideal Husband by Oscar Wilde.
We are talking about Oscar Wilde's An Ideal Husband today, and I have with me Lady Gertrude Chiltern and Sir Robert Chiltern. And luckily for APT, those roles are being played by Colleen Madden and David Daniel this year. And they have a long history of playing opposite each other, including Much Ado About Nothing in 2014 and As You Like It in 2010. So I wanted to start by asking, as a couple in on stage only, of course, how does that influence your performance together, having a long history of having played opposite each other?
Well, actually, we have an even longer history of playing opposite each other because we went to grad school together at University of Delaware's Professional Theater Training Program. And we were sometimes a couple, or at least on stage quite a lot at that time, and that was years ago. And we were kids, really. We were just leaving rehearsal the other night, and I was on my way out, and we looked at each other, and we both said, "This is so fun. I think that we just, after all this time, really trust each other."
Yeah, trust is very important in the creative process. It doesn't matter if that's music or dance. There's trust there. And it not only do I trust Colleen and trust all the members of the core company, but there's also, it just, you relax. You're not worried about whether this is your best shot at something or whether you're really creative today. You can just trust that person and you can trust yourself. It's a very relaxing experience when you're working with somebody that you've spent a lot of time with.
And what is the relationship between your characters in this play like?
We are very happily married, and then for a brief minute, very unhappily married. This play really is a great deal about a marriage and how each perceives the other, each spouse perceives the other, and having to recalibrate once we've learned about each other's past lives, past actions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the difference between the perception of your spouse and who they really are. And when they do something that's absolutely, completely normal for them, but goes against your perception, that creates friction and chaos. And that's where, I know certainly for me, that's where most of the arguments come from, is you're not doing what I think you should be doing. And of course, my wife is like, this is exactly how I'm doing things because it's me. I know what I'm doing. And so that idea between, and in this show, it's a pedestal. She puts him up on a pedestal. And that's no different than, you know, putting somebody in a pit either. You just have that perception and that's where you keep them. And they're not allowed to deviate from that. And if there is a deviation, that's chaos and friction.
And I think that most of our audience members will not have seen An Ideal Husband. It's certainly not performed as often as The Favorite, The Importance of Being Earnest. I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about why that is.
I think that The Importance of Being Earnest fits very neatly into a style, into a category. I mean, it's very much a style piece. In a sense, it's a style that was invented by Oscar Wilde, although I think that he was really coming out of a long tradition, starting with Restoration comedy, well, really starting with Shakespeare, but slightly on the cusp of the social norms. And I think that the importance of being, I mean, it's a comedy. It's a social commentary disguised as a comedy. An Ideal Husband, he wrote a number of plays that were similar to An Ideal Husband in style, in that he was really, really concerned with society and the outliers of society. Mm-hmm. A Woman of No Importance, Lady Windermere's Fan.
Yeah. How society perceives the individual, the weight, the power that has.
And he's really concerned with sin or wickedness.
Perceived sin.
Perceived sin and wickedness. Yeah. Because he himself, of course, has had a very difficult path through society. But I think what is difficult about this particular play is that it's both, it's a melodrama, and it's a comedy. And I think Laura Gordon, our director, who's such an intelligent human being, very wisely trimmed a little on either side, so she really took out some of the melodrama to make it a more central story.
And when we say melodrama, we should probably explain that is it doesn't mean it's over the top. It just means it's heightened, and that was I don't want to say a legitimate style of theater. It was a style of theater, and we have images of black and white movies with the fellow twisting his mustache and the lady on the train tracks and putting your hand on your brow and oh my, but it was it is no different than all the millions of people who cried at the end of Titanic as he slipped into the water, and you're just, oh, when there was plenty of room on the raft. Or it's no different than Team Jacob, and they're just like, oh, choose the werewolf, not the vamp. It's that same where you're emotionally caught up.
Twilight
the emotions.
Reference. Nice,
yes,
nice.
Thank you very much. Those are old school references. You're caught up in the emotion, that heightened emotion. That's the heart of melodrama.
And I can give you an example of some of what Laura did pre-rehearsal to trim some of the melodrama. I have a speech, and at the moment, it goes like this. This is how we're doing it now. All your life, you have stood apart from others. You have never let the world soil you. To the world as to myself, you have been an ideal, always. Oh, be that ideal still. We women worship when we love. And when we lose our worship, we lose everything.
Really, it's everything that play is about is in
and
that
it's,
speech.
It's personal. Mm-hmm. A lot of this play on the page before cutting really is trying to be universal about men and women. And that's uncomfortable for us because we have very different ideas now about men and women and our each is, you know, respective place in society. But this is how that that speech started out. All your life you have stood apart from others. You have never let the world soil you. To the world as to myself, you have been an ideal always. Oh, be that ideal still, that great inheritance throw not away, that tower of ivory do not destroy. Robert, men can love what is beneath them, things unworthy, stained, dishonored. We women worship when we love, and when we lose our worship, we lose everything. Oh, don't kill my love for you. Don't kill that.
It's a little real, different.
It's different. It's harder to play. It makes the play longer, but also it makes it more general, less specific to this couple. And also, Laura Gordon went through and cut some of the repetitions. Don't kill my love for you. Don't kill that. There's a lot of repetition, which makes it sound quite melodramatic. So,
it's a very complicated process to edit. I know right now in The Guardian, I just read it, I think it was The Guardian, I read an article that the RSC and The Globe in London are having, the artistic directors are comparing to cut or not to cut Shakespeare and the philosophy behind both of those approaches. It's the same thing that we go through here. We cut, but that's hours and hours of looking at every sentence, every phrase, and every word, balancing that with time, which is of importance to us, time, and then theme, and streamlining plots and ideas. So it's a very complicated conversation, and one that's alive, one that we still have in the rehearsal room right now. We talk about this moment or that moment, and well, in the original, it's got this, and should we add that back in?
In fact, we've added quite a lot back in that mm-hmm. I thought on the page seemed melodramatic, but in a moment of crisis, we're all melodramatic in moments of crisis. So I think that our final product, it's not final yet, it'll be final on opening night, but it really tells a story. Our ideal husband is not very different from the original. I think some of the melodrama has been taken out, but it really is a story of politics, goodness in politics, evil in politics, where one has to compromise between the two. It's a story of friendship. It's a story of marriage and seeing one's spouse, one's partner, for their real self and accepting them as they are. It's a complicated story, and I think it's something that people will really relate to.
And it takes place in just 24 hours, which is surprising given the number of plot turns.
Two days, I think, in about 48 hours. Yeah.
And it's I think it's very interesting. We were talking earlier about how society views these problems. And both of these plays, so we talked about Ernest and we talked about Ideal Husband. So Ideal Husband was written first with Ernest. And both of these plays were playing to large houses, great reviews, while he was in jail, while he was locked up in jail. And both of these were talking about, especially Ideal Husband, society's view on what is proper as the playwright is locked in jail.
And not only was Wilde imprisoned for being accused of homosexuality, but they removed his name from the plays that were running, as you say, to sold-out houses, which is terrible. One of the quotes I came across about Ideal Husband was Oscar Wilde said in the early 1890s, "Sooner or later, we shall have to pay for what we do." But he added, "No one should be entirely judged by their past."
That's right. I mean, my character, Lady Chiltern, has this wonderful quote. And it's really Shavian in that in the moment you can, as an audience member, agree with both people having the argument. I say, one's past is what one is. It is the only way by which people should be judged, which is not really untrue. We are our past. We can't really be judged on what we say we're going to do, but what we have done already. But I think Wilde wished that people had a more charitable perception of people's past, a more forgiving nature, allowing people to move forward and not be trapped by their past.
I think that is part of his brilliance, is trying to lead us to understand in many about many things that he wasn't allowed to speak about in explicit terms, but which we now understand and appreciate. Thank you both very much. It's going to be an exciting production.
Thank you.
Talkbacks to Go is a production of Orange Tree Imports and Audio for the Arts. Your host is Orange Schroeder. I'm Buzz Kemper. Our music is used by permission of the artist. Please find us on iTunes and YouTube under APT Talkbacks to Go. Thank you for listening.